Turn in your Bibles, Psalms 37, and this whole place the Lord talked about of introducing you to the Father and being with Him, all that's very real. Everything He said was more real than you could ever know. The Father's greater, and we're just scratching it. I mean, we're only touching the love. I mean, we still have glory, light, life, and all other realms of the Father to go, and already we're just being undone by the love of the Father in an amazing way. Amen. Glory to God. All right, so Psalms 37, let me begin with verse 34. It says, wait on the Lord. Now, God, this doesn't want you to wait. There's a way in which He wants you to wait. He doesn't want you waiting 50 years frustrated. He doesn't want you waiting full of fear and anxiety. He doesn't want you waiting impatiently. That is not how to wait. If you wait that way, you're going to keep waiting. This chapter actually defines, this psalm defines how to wait on the Lord. It also defines inheritance. You know, inheritance is mentioned 6 times in this psalm, and indirectly a 7th time, the perfection. There is no place anywhere, even close, that mentions inheritance more than twice in any place. This one mentions it 7 times in one psalm. Amen? And they also talks to you about the pathway to inheritance. But it says, wait on the Lord and keep His way. Say, keep His way. What He means is keep His way of waiting. Keep His way of waiting. And then He shall what? Exalt thee to inherit the land. That's one of the references of inheritance. I'm going to share all 6 or 7 references. And then I'm going to talk to you about His way, and the very specific outline that He lays out on how to appropriate an inheritance and how to wait upon Him and how to do it with joy. Amen? And how to walk with God while waiting. Amen? More times than not in Christianity, He put a shit into this, 11th commandment, thou shalt wait on the Lord, because nobody is going to bypass the waiting process. How many of you have had to wait on the Lord? Raise your hand. If you haven't had to wait on the Lord, you need to get to this altar, because everybody waits on the Lord. Amen? Everybody's waiting on God to do something. It's how you wait. Listen, the children of Israel waited for 40 years. Something that was supposed to take a couple of months, maybe a couple of weeks. They ended up drawing that out for 40 years. Amen? They were never supposed to go wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They never understood how God, what He was looking for. If you don't understand what He's looking for, you just keep circling around. Amen? Once you understand what He's looking for, you can actually hone in to what He's looking for, and you can get into what? Alignment. Say alignment. Alignment with Him, and then things will begin happening. Amen? So let's look at the verses that speak of inheritance. The 6 verses, and then I'll give you the 7th one, indirect, because He's talking about inheriting the land of promise. The first indirect verse was verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good, and thou shalt what? Dwell in the land. That's the indirect verse. Dwell in the land. You will dwell in the land. So the first verse of inheritance is verse 9. He says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, you'll see that throughout, shall what? Inherit the earth. Verse 11. But the meek shall what? Inherit the earth and delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Verse 18. The Lord knoweth the ways of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. I think He's talking about inheritance. Verse 22. For such as be blessed of Him shall inherit the earth. Verse 29, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. And then 34, wait on the Lord, keep His way, and He will exalt thee to inherit the land. So if we see, the theme of this psalm is inheritance, but He also tells us and gives us the instruction on how to move into the land of inheritance. Isn't that good? Praise God. So the first thing, I'll call this the pathway to inheritance. or the Psalms 37 inheritance, but he's going to lay out a pathway beginning in verse 1. And let's go back to verse 1 here. Let's look what he says. I'm actually living in all of these now, probably for the first time, fluidly and in harmony. And when you can get in harmony with all of this, I mean, it really starts doing something pretty powerful. I find the whole kingdom of God operates in this thing called alignment and harmony. And when you get everything the way God wants it, you can flow seamlessly with God. When you don't, you get out of alignment. When you get out of alignment, all kinds of things happen that are not supposed to be happening to you. And when you stay in alignment, you start finding out what he's looking for and how to stay where he wants you, you actually will have peace, joy, and life pretty much all of the day long. Amen. You won't live a life of frustration. Everyone say amen. If you're frustrated, it's because you're out of alignment. I'll say it like this. If you're frustrated, it's because you're out of alignment. There's a lot of different signs: anxiety, frustration, fear, depression. Depression's a sure sign you're out of alignment. Amen. Oppression, depression, discouragement. If you're discouraged all the time, you're out of alignment. Because God didn't design, even in faith, because faith requires you to look at the unseen, and you're going to constantly see circumstances that are contrary to what God is saying. But they don't have to discourage you. If they're discouraging you, is because those circumstances are in you. Amen? They're not where they need to be, under your feet. So it's all about how to appropriate the promise and live and dwell with God. And God actually makes this kind of fun. Amen? Believe it or not, I'm finding fun. Fun, say fun. You know, joy, delight. All of this is a process in God, and he actually requires that. So look at verse 1, Psalm 37. He said, a psalm of David. David learned this. Everybody has to learn this. Fret not. That's first thing. Say fret not. Fret has a big meaning. It can be everything from being anxious for nothing to full-blown anger. It's the fullness. He goes, do not fret. You cannot live a life of fretting. Look at your neighbor and said, stop fretting. He says, because of the evildoers or the envious against the workers of iniquity. You cannot live a life of fretting, anxiety, worry, tension. You cannot live like that in God and expect to birth something. You don't birth in a state of fretting. You don't birth in a state of anxiety. You don't birth in a state of frustration. All that. The Bible says, be careful for what? Nothing. Say, be careful for what? Nothing. Be careful for nothing. If he's going to mention seven inheritance six times in one indirect time, seven mentions of inheritance, he's going to tell you how to appropriate. And the very thing about appropriating inheritance is you cannot live a life of fretting. That means out of alignment, waking up full of frustration, care, worry. All of that will lead to a misalignment. And when you're misaligned in God, nothing works properly. Amen? If you're not in alignment with God, life will not work. It's like a car without oil. It's not going to drive properly. Amen? We're called to live in a state of alignment, and there's certain things God is looking for all the time. Amen? Say all the time. And when he finds those things that he's looking for, and when you're in alignment, there's going to be things that there are going to be fruits. I'll call them fruits of alignment. Say fruits. Now, the first thing he's going to do is tell you how to get into alignment. The first thing he says, fret not. He's not going to tell you not to do something without telling you what to do. Amen. And in verse 3, he gives you his first big instruction. This one is a very generic term that we all like, but we very rarely understand where our trust is. It says, trust in the Lord. Say, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. You can actually add Proverbs 3:5 to that. Trust in the Lord with all, say all, of thy heart. He's not going to allow you, when you're entering into the land of inheritance, to have your trust misplaced. It's very easy to trust in a lot of different things. You can trust in the world. You can trust in your employer. You can trust yourself. You can trust in your own mechanisms. But God eventually is going to realign all of that trust. And anything that you can write this down, anything you're over-trusting in, if you're walking with God and you're over-trusting in something besides him, You'll find out really soon, because he is going to remove your capacity to trust in that thing. How many of you have ever put your trust in something and all of a sudden the walls come tumbling down? How many of you know that God will put you in a position in life that you're not going to be able to trust in anything but him? How many of you ever get in a position, I can't trust in this, I can't trust in that, I can't trust in anything? And when you do, it in the beginning of the days when he was constantly orchestrating circumstances where I had to put my trust in him, it was very uncomfortable. And when you're out of alignment and you're trying to trust in something besides God, that is extremely excruciating, uncomfortable. Amen? Because that's where your trust is. And when he realigns your trust to him alone, eyes for him alone, you're not going to be able to trust in anything else. You might as well know that. When you're walking by faith, it's going to be God and God alone. You're not going to be able to do it. And if you are, he'll show it to you. It's amazing the things that happen and how many times when you're trying to walk this journey, how many times something gets in the way. You start putting your trust on this, that. You might as well know there is no system in the world the Father is going to allow you to trust in. You're going to put a trust in God alone. Amen? And if it's anywhere else, if it's on you or your own capacities, all that's going to get revealed. And all that is sources of misalignment whenever we put trust in anywhere else. And lots of sometimes, hey, I'm guilty myself. It doesn't matter how high you get in God, your soul can come in and start bypassing God. And you don't even know it's bypassing God. Oh, yeah, I trust in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And your soul's out there trying to engineer a breakthrough. How many of you have had your soul engineer a breakthrough on your behalf? Anybody ever had your soul step up and start engineering a breakthrough on your behalf? And it just sounds like God, feels like God, and it is not God, but you don't know it's not God. And you go down that path that your soul is engineered, and all of a sudden, it looks real good, and all of a sudden, as soon as you jump in, stops to a grinding halt. Oops! That's called the engineering of the soul. It's really good at it. It's constantly trying to engineer the blessing of heaven for your life. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just my soul, but there is this constant engineering. Every time I get onto something with God, the soul wants to come up. But here's the difference. When God says to trust in him with all your heart, he wants you to cleave to the tree of life. The soul is going to cleave to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's going to cleave to something, some system in the world that's far below God's plan, but it looks good. It's very enamoring. It's supposed to be everything. And then as soon as you move out into it, it's a matter of time. All of a sudden, the curtain comes down and there's nothing there. When God leads you out, he'll have you walk out on a limb. He'll saw it off behind you. You won't have anything to stand on but his word, but then all of a sudden he just opens the thing up for you. When you operate by the soul, it'll surely shut down. When you operate by the spirit, it'll surely increase and multiply. Finding out which one you're operating in, that's a difficulty. That's what we have a series recently put out called The Dethroning of the Soul. You must dethrone your soul daily. Say daily. If you do not dethrone it, it will enthrone himself. The soul has a natural capacity to be enthroned. And it wants to run the show. And God himself will let you go and do it if you want to. He'll let you go out there and then it's surely going to end in a mess. I'm going to tell you right now. So that's what he's talking about. This generic thing called trust in the Lord is far, far greater than our generic religious understanding. Oh, yes, trust in the Lord. I get that part. No. He's talking about the realm of the heart. He's talking about where your heart is placed, where your heart is. He says, trust in the Lord with all, say all, of thine heart. So he says, trust in the Lord. This is big. It's a constant realigning of the trust. Now, here's how you'll know. When you're in alignment, there's going to be something called peace. Without peace, you'll do nothing in the kingdom of God. If you're frustrated, because I know somebody is up in this house tonight, you're frustrated. And you said, God, if you do not speak to me in the next 24 hours, I am going to explode. That's how frustrated you are. You're that frustrated because you're that out of a lane. I'm going to show you how to get back in. Amen. All right. Trust in the Lord, do good. Thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. Praise God. All right. Here's another one. Ready? Delight. This is not an engineering of your soul to delight yourself in the Lord. Okay, I'm going to wake up and be happy today. Come on, put the smiley face on. Put the joy of the Lord on, the joy of the Lord. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about engineering a delight and a joy in your soul, because God does not function from that place. He's talking about a delight that comes from fellowship with him and him alone. You have to get to a place where in union with him, and that union will actually produce joy and happiness. It comes from him, not from you. That's like trying to love somebody with your love. He's not asking you in 1 Corinthians 13 to go out and love the world with your love. It's possible to give your body to be burned for the sake of your religion and not have love. You can give all your goods to feed the poor and still miss it. Because it's not a joy that's engineered from your soul. It's a joy that comes from a union with him. And without that union, there's not going to be the kind of delight he's looking for. It's a true delight. It's an authentic delight. It's an authentic joy that's born out of being with him. Amen. And when you have that joy of being with him, in him, and with him, that joy is going to manifest. And you can do this while you're in a place of faith. You can do it in the place of victory. Listen, if you're, only time you're ever going to be joyful is when you, the breakthrough comes. You're going to be waiting a long time for joy. You have to learn to have joy and find it with him, in him, while you're in the journey. Amen. Because it's a crucial part of breakthrough. Is actually, the Bible says he fills you with what? All joy and peace. That's how he got me into this thing about dethroning the soul. Because I was just all over it, didn't know it. I was all wrapped up in it. And he gave me that verse, floated through my spirit. And he said, I fill you with all joy and peace in the believing. He said, are you in joy? I'm like, I'm not even in all joy. I just like some joy. I don't need all joy right now, just a little bit. Look at your neighbor and say, just a little bit. Say, all joy and peace in believing, and I'm abounding in hope. The Lord said, are you right there? I'm abounding in hope with the dunamis power of the Holy Ghost. He goes, are you there? I'm like, I am nowhere near there. But you know how amazing how fast you can shift back in? In one day, all that can topple when you can be right back where you need to be. You just got to find out who's running the show, what's running the show. You got to find out where you're out of alignment. I didn't have any joy because my soul was trying to manufacture the promise of God. Your soul part of you, your flesh part of you starts engineering the promise of God. You're going to lose your joy like that. Because God's going to let you have at it. Amen. And when you lose your joy, when you lose your delight, when you lose that, see, God, all joy and peace and believing comes by the Spirit of God. It's spirit to spirit transaction. Amen. But a lot of times we don't know what's going on. We don't know who's running the show. If you don't know who's running the show, then what's going to happen is you're going to get out of alignment. And sometimes it's very difficult if you're not close to him to see which one's running things. That's why it's a constant. He says, if a man will follow me, let him take up his cross and die daily. That's not something you just walk around with your cross all day. And he's looking at this picture. I'm going to walk around my cross. Anybody want to follow me? I'm dying daily today. Anybody want to come die with me? That is a process where you surrender the old man, but you don't stay in a place of death. You surrender that old man. He's crucifying the old man, but he's resurrecting the new. So you're not going to be sitting there dying all day long. I lived a long time in that place, dying daily. I mean, we used to wear our badge of how much death we could obtain in one day. I mean, the more miserable we became, the greatest among us is who could be most miserable. I mean, just wearing it all the time. You couldn't wear that kind of thing. You got to watch what you wear. That's not what that's talking about. Jesus has this innate ability to crucify your old man, but resurrect your new. If you're not getting the same level of resurrection that you're getting crucifixion, you're out of alignment. You're supposed to crucify, but resurrect. I can't just live in the crucifixion. That's not where you're living anyway. That's just the old man. Your new man seated with him. Your old man is being crucified. He does all that in the process of prayer. I submit the old man for crucifixion, but I don't go down there and live down in the crucifixion. I'm not on the cross, and he's not either. My old man's on the cross, but the part of me that lives, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth. I want to live, not just die. Amen? But sometimes parts of me have to get out of the way for me to live. And the parts of me that got to get out of the way, God is well able to cut that stuff down if you know how he does it. Amen? It's called a dethroning of the soul. But in the spirit transacting with God, there will be joy and peace in the believing. There'll be a true delight. You have to learn to find that delight on a daily basis. When you find that delight, it's at a spirit encounter with God. When the soul is being dethroned, he will really fill you with joy. It's all part of the faith mechanism he's building in you. It's a trust mechanism of faith that he's building that to where he can assign you the realm of the impossible. Amen? And you can stare it down every day, and every circumstance around you says it's not going to happen. And you come out full, like Abraham, against hope, believed in hope, staggered not at the promise of God. That is a realm. That's not something you can just generate. That's a realm you live in with God. Amen? Abraham had to find out how to get out of the way. He was constantly in God's way, constantly trying to help him out. He had to get that part out of the way too. Everybody does. Amen. So delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. This is a good one. Verse 5. Commit. This is a big one. The word commit means to roll. You got to learn how to roll, baby. I want your neighbor to say, roll, baby. Roll. Say, commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit thy way, trust also. What does it mean? Roll it out. You're going to have to learn how to roll out. Listen, my friends, every day there's going to be accumulation of good, the bad, and the ugly. Amen? The enemy is going to try to dump stuff on you. People are going to try to dump stuff on you. The world system alone, just get up and go out in it. It's going to try to clothe you in it. I can't stand going out without being clothed with God. I mean, you can just drive into certain parts of towns and just feel the certain oppressions of it. It was amazing. I was so in the spirit the other day. We had to go pick up on those cars. We were driving through different places, and I was experiencing different sensations as we were driving. I'm like, what is going on here? Because I was so in the spirit, but as I was driving through, I just come out of the room. I was so in spirit. We were driving through. I could feel the different atmospheres of different parts of town that we were driving through. And as I could feel the different atmospheres, I'd get agitated. I'm like, what is going on? So you have to learn to roll. It's a process. I actually do most of this at the throne of grace where we roll it out empty. So you got to commit it back to God. You have to constantly unload. Say unload, roll, commit. Surrender, release. It has to constantly being rolled out, because if you don't, you're going to pack it. We call it backpacking the ark around here. If you start backpacking the ark, you're going to die. I mean, something in you, not you, but something in you, going to, you cannot put your hands all over the things of God. It's a constantly rolling out. Amen? When God gives you something to carry, an assignment, and you have to roll that out. You can't, because if you don't, what's going to happen is parts of you are going to try to seize that and carry it in your own strength, and you can't. You can't carry it in your own strength. You have to roll. It says, cast your burden upon the Lord. Cast your burden upon the waters. Cast the whole of your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. If you don't know how to get rid of the care, you're going to get buried with it. So you have to roll it. Say roll. So now when I'm in the throne of grace, I'm rolling out. Why? I'm emptying. Why? The emptier you get, the more he's going to fill you. But if you start carrying all these things into God and think you're going to go up in the high places in the mountain God with full of a bunch of, you got a bunch of junk in the trunk, you're not going to be able to get it up there. You got to roll it out. That's even his assignment. You roll it out and you pick it back up in the Father. That's a big mystery there. Let me share it with you again. When God gives you something to do, something to birth, something to pray for, you're praying for something, don't carry all that up into the Father. Release it. Let it go. Let it go. Release it. Don't carry all that up into him. Because I ain't carrying up there, and the first thing I walk up into the Father and say, give me this, give me that. I don't do that. I let go of everything. I surrender everything. I'm rolling. I'm letting it loose. I'm committing it to God. I'm releasing. The Bible says, whatever you loose on the earth will get loose in heaven. You got to learn to loose things. You let go of it. You make your ascension into God. You get love to the Father as a son, then you pick it back up there with Him in the Spirit. Because you're not picking it up in the flesh, you're picking it up in the Spirit, the part of you that's sanctioned to carry the deep things of God. See, if you try to carry the deep things of God with your old man, it won't work. God said, no, that's not sanctioned. You have to understand what's sanctioned with God, what's not sanctioned. So you're carrying things up that should have been released. I've learned to empty everything, go up, and then pick it back up there in the Spirit. I don't even trust my own self half the time. So I empty everything because I don't want to be carrying the ark with the wrong part of me. If I am, I'm going to suffer the repercussion of it. So if I surrender, I know when I'm in the Father, it's Spirit to Spirit. When I know I'm in the love of the Father, it's Spirit. And that's after I've been loved of the Father, I pick it all back up and start representing it to Him. And it works beautifully. Amen? That's what that means, to commit, roll, release, loose. Amen? You got to learn to do that daily. Some of you are carrying things you're not supposed to be carrying. You're carrying burdens that should have been given to God. You're carrying something only He can carry. And believe me when I tell you this, the greater the anointing, the greater things God gives you, the less you can. You can't carry some of the great things of God. In a day, it'll bury you. Within hours, it'll bury if you pick it up. The heavier things, the weightier things of God can only be carried in the realm of the Spirit. They cannot be carried in the flesh. And they will bury you if the wrong part of you is carrying it. So you surrender. You learn to do every day. Surrender, release. Let Him carry it. Amen? He's really good at it. And we're really not good at it. The only time we're supposed to really carry things is when we're in Him. With Him, in the Father. Then He puts it back on you, but it's not a burden. Amen? It's free. We're supposed to be living free in God. Amen? This is how you carry the glory. We're talking about the glory around here. What are we talking about? Inheritance. We're not talking about how to live in the wilderness. We're talking about how to inherit with God. Amen? Say, roll. 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 Commit thy way to the Lord. There it is. Trust also in Him. And He what? He'll bring it to pass. Who's bringing it to pass? He's going to bring it to pass. Who's bringing it to pass? You or Him. You get your hands on it. He says, look, which one of us are going to do this? So what God will do is sometimes give you an assignment that's so far above you, you can't do it. Then He'll put you in a situation where you can't trust in anything but Him. There's nowhere to cleave but Him. There's nowhere to grab but Him. If you're in that situation, believe it or not, though it be very uncomfortable, it's for your own good. But God doesn't want you just living uncomfortable like that. That's not the way of faith. God wants you to live in harmony with your faith. So find out how to move that uncomfortableness to harmony. Amen? God didn't put you in that to make you uncomfortable. He really doesn't like you uncomfortable. It's not the way. He just wants you to find harmony in His way. Amen? He wants you to find harmony in the way He's doing this. You can actually find a harmony with God where you're fully trusting in Him and nothing else, but it'll actually be joy and peace. And this is really, I promise you, in the first time in my life that I've found this arena. And I'm actually enjoying it now in a great way. But I found out how to do this. And the big issue, I promise you, in all my journey in God, the biggest issue is not the devil. Your biggest issue is not the circumstance. Your biggest issue is your flesh, and in particular the soul, that gets in God's way. The devil is put under your feet the second you get into the doorway of the kingdom. But the part of you that doesn't get in the feet, the soul tries to stay there, and that's the one giving you the biggest trouble. Amen? I mean, he is Barney Rubble Trouble. It has to be put down. So, commit thy way, trust also in Him, and He'll bring it to pass. There is such a trust that comes and a joy and this love relationship with faith that's working by love and it's working by joy and it's working by trust and it's working by harmony and it's working by not carrying it, letting Him carry it, finding out what's sanctioned in the glory, what's not sanctioned. What part of me can carry things in the glory? What part of me cannot? Finding a very clear-cut understanding of which one's carrying it. And once I understand and know that, things start smoothing out. And I start thinking, this is really the way You called us to do this. This is the way You've called us to do this. You've called us to walk with this stuff in harmony. Amen. He said, yeah, I'm calling you to give birth with it too, like that. Isn't that awesome? Because that's what He's going to do, is bring in land of promise. He's telling you how to get out of the 40-year wilderness into the land of inheritance. He's telling you how to break the cycle. This is how you break. Look at your neighbor and say, this is how you break the cycle. Got to find what He's wanting. Amen. How many want to go another lap around the wilderness? Raise your hand. How many want to get out of the wilderness into the promised land? See all the hands? Say, come on, baby! Hallelujah! This chapter, man, I tell you, I'm meditating, I'm living it, I'm looking at it, I'm watching it. I'm like, all right, God, I'm looking for the signs, because down below, He has something. There's a scripture here, verse 37. Mark the perfect man. I'll mark the mature man in this. And behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Always watch your peace. Always watch the peace level, because it's telling you where you're at. Even if you can't see what you've done, and many times it doesn't matter how spiritual you get in this life, there are going to be times you just won't see what's in the way. But your peace will get disrupted. And when peace gets disrupted, that is a sign something has gotten out of alignment. God's always about tweaking. Amen. He wants to tweak you. More importantly, He wants you to live in the high places with Him. And He wants you to live in fun. He wants to make it fun for you. He wants to make it enjoyable. And He wants you to make it pleasurable for you. And He wants to make it full. Amen. Even in your transition from wilderness to inheritance, which is happening right now, He wants to make this pleasurable. Amen. All right, here's the big one. This one's huge. Look at verse 7. How much has He majored on this with us over the years? Rest. Listen, if you're frustrated and you go on vacation, you'll come home frustrated. Laying on a beach is not going to deal with that. Or you can come home and in one day you'll be back to where you were. Put it that way. Rest in the Lord. Say, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. I wish He wouldn't have put the wait part. But now that I'm learning how to wait, it's actually not that hard. You're not supposed to wait with frustration. That's not how you do it. You don't rest with, you're not resting in the Lord and waiting impatiently. You're not resting in the Lord in disharmony, frustrated. Rest in the Lord, stay frustrated all day long, and He'll bring it to pass. That's not how that works. When you rest, everything gets into a position with Him. It's all about getting positioned. Amen? Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself, become he that prosper in his way. Stay in that alignment. Stay in the rest. Move into the rest. Stay in the rest. The rest is everything. Outside the love of the Father, the rest is everything. Amen? And this gets us to verse 34. Wait on the Lord. When He said, wait on the Lord and keep His way. What way? The way He just described through the whole psalm. Fret not. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Roll your works upon Him. Commit it to Him. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Wait on the Lord this way. Keep God's way in this, and He will exalt you to inherit the land. Amen. He'll move you out. Basically what He's saying, if you'll learn how to do this and learn how what God's looking for, He'll graduate you. This is talking about graduation. Amen. Because this is what He's looking for. Because this is His way to move you from one place of glory to the next of the glory. Is learning how to stay in this realm. And I'll just have to say, for the last 10 days, it's been pretty amazing. the Monday before last when he dethroned the soul, learned how to get that thing out of the way. And it's been amazing. I'm like, wow, we can do this every day? And he goes, yes, as long as you stay out of the way. But once you do this and get in this rhythm with him, it's like, wow, this is fun. This is awesome. Amen? It's not a chore anymore. It's joyful. I mean, most people don't have joy. Just, they don't. Most people really don't wake up with joy. Most people are not happy. A lot of people going to a job, they're not happy at. Most people, their prayers are more complaints than they are anything else. Like, God, when, why, how come? It's because we live in a life that's out of alignment with the kingdom. And the kingdom we're supposed to be, have authentic joy. But authentic joy doesn't come with something you're stirring up from your soul, manufacturing from the soul. Engineered joy is not joy. Engineered happiness is not happiness. Authentic joy and authentic happiness comes from not only dwelling in him, but having everything in alignment with him. Listen, you can enter into joy with God and then come right back out of there and all of a sudden get reclothed in your circumstance because the other stuff's not in alignment. But when you get everything in alignment, you get into a harmony, you get into a peace, and then there's joy. Kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy, mostly in that order too, praise God. There's a true joy that comes when things get aligned with God and you're carrying the deep things of God, the glory of God, in a state of alignment with God and the peace of God and the glory of God. Amen? Wait on the Lord this way. Keep this way and he'll exalt you to inherit the land. He'll graduate you. Say, graduate me, God. Get me into a place. So when you start doing this, you start finding out God has a way about him. Amen? You find out what he's looking for, life will go a lot easier for you. If you don't know what he's looking for, a lot of times you're fighting against him. There's parts of you out of alignment you don't know. If you find out, get that part right, things will start lining up for you. Amen? Listen, you can write this down. You can, I don't care how. Before God lines it out here for you, he's going to line it in here. If you don't get him in lining in here, it's not going to line out here. Amen? We all want God to do this out here. There's not a person alive that doesn't want God to do something out here. Amen? Whether it be ministry, business, family, home, promises, doesn't matter. Before he does it out here, he's doing it in here. If you find out what's in here, you get this part right, this part will line out. Amen? If this part is not right, all you can hope for is a miracle. Because if this don't get right, I don't care how much you want it, how much you wish for, that's a pain to want something that bad but not know how God's going to bring it to the earth. Because this part's out of alignment. This will never show up until this gets right. This chapter is about getting this right, the inside. Amen. That's why the Lord could sleep in the boat when the disciples were constantly, when they would get into a storm, the first thing they did, they went in panic mode. They got into the flesh. They got into frustration. And all the time, he never, ever allowed any of that inside of him. The time he went with them, he was sleeping in the boat. They had to wake him up. Carest thou not? Aren't you frustrated in fear like the rest of us? Aren't you fretting like the rest of us? Aren't you with us? He goes, no, I actually am not. They had to wake him up from a storm because it never was inside him because he governed the interior because he was always in the Father. He wasn't where they were even though he's in the same boat. We can all be in the same boat and be in very opposite places. You can be in this house. One person can be in the mountain. The other person can be in the valley. It all depends on what's going on in the inside. Amen? It's you govern the interior kingdom of God and you get things in alignment within, they'll start aligning without. That's taken me a lot of years to figure that out. Amen? But now I understand God has a way. Now he says, wait on the Lord. Keep his way. Keep his way. He said, listen, don't just wait on me. But wait on me. Don't just wait on me frustrated. Don't wait on me full of care. Don't wait on me murmuring. Don't wait on me complaining. Don't wait on me out of alignment. Wait on me in alignment. Wait on me with your trust aligned, your joy aligned, your promise aligned. Wait on me in a state of rest. Wait on me with joy. Wait on me with delight. Wait on me in the love of the Father. Wait on me this way. If you wait on me this way, I'll exalt you to inherit the land. Wait on me with joy, peace. And I'll fill you with all joy and peace in the believing process. I'll make it joyful for you to do this. Even though things hadn't changed yet out here, everything's changing inside. See, all things are changing. I'm having a revival on the inside. My soul is having a revival. I put him down every day. God will resurrect your soul under the dominion of your spirit, and it'll be in alignment. But he will not allow your soul to run your life. He certainly won't allow your soul to run his kingdom. He's not sanctioned. Sit down, oh soul. You cannot go into the high places of God with your mind just out, floating around everywhere. That's why he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. He wants all of it surrendered. Amen? When you learn to do that, your life's going to start taking on a brand new joy, a brand new life. And everything inside is getting restructured so the outside can be exact Kodak of what's going on the inside. Amen? Really, your outer life is going to be a picture of your inner life. Now, I really understand our brother-in-law had gotten a new car. It was a BMW coupe. And we were over at his house. I said, can I drive that? He goes, yeah. And I said, can Anna go? He goes, yeah, because I didn't want him in the car because I wanted to open that thing up. I got that car and I found me a street. And I got the thing over 100. Quick, pastor, got it over 100 for sure. But yeah, that kind of car, you can go 100 miles an hour and think you're going 50. All of a sudden, I wind it down. I was trying to find a place to turn around. I couldn't find it. All of a sudden, I just saw this little driveway, and I turn in. I mean, it looked like the Amityville Horror House there. There was just grass this tall. There was cars in the front yard that had been there for quite a long time. All of a sudden, I pull in. I'm trying to find a reverse in this thing, and I see the curtain pull back. I'm like, get me out of this house right now. I don't know if a gun's coming out. I don't know who lives there, but this place was creepy. But it's all grown over with weeds and everything. And God decides to speak to me right there. Of all places, I'm still trying to find this reverse in this car. And Anna's going, we need to back up pretty quick here. And the Spirit of God speaks to me. He said, the outside of this house is a direct, perfect picture of the inside of the man that's living on the inside of that house. That is what he looks like on the inside. That's why someone could win the lottery and all of a sudden, it doesn't matter what happens, it'll re-sow itself. Happens to almost 50, 60, 70% of them that inherit like that. It's not good enough to just inherit. You don't understand. If you inherit with a crooked soul, with a crooked interior, it's going to re-sow itself. If you inherit as a dysfunctional orphan, it'll re-sow itself in a matter of time. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's why God works on the inside first. If he can get revival on the inside, he'll get revival on the outside. If he can get you to inherit on the inside his way and keep his way where he can fill that with himself. And then when you inherit on the outside, it'll remain. It'll remain, it'll multiply, increase. It'll be durable. It cannot be taken apart. Amen. Glory to God. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. He'll order it. He'll order your life. Let him do it his way. Wait on the Lord. Keep his way. Learn his way. If you want out, if you want to graduate, the best thing God will ever do for any of us is not to graduate us too soon. I have seen men of God graduate into anointings that they weren't ready for. It wrecked them. And it wrecked a lot of people in the process. Amen? Wait on the Lord. Keep his way. He is well able to bring it out. He's well able to bring it to pass. He's well able to do for us what he said he would do. He's well able to graduate us. He's well able to bring us into the land the proper way. Amen? That's what he wants from us. He didn't want us to just inherit. He wants us to inherit within. He's got to restructure within. He wants the inside and the outside in harmony together. That's what it was with the Lord. That's why a storm never affected him. Because he was always being governed from within, not without. Amen? He never allowed an exterior storm to govern who he was within. And the glorious. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah.